Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Monday, September 7th, 2020. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and even Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it. Give it 5 stars. Let everyone know why you like it, because it makes me feel good about myself and all the life decisions I made. Not all of them. I should have made better ones. But just in particular for this podcast, it makes me feel like I'm not just throwing this content out into a digital abyss of TikTok videos, racist video game reviews, how to turn your car Bluetooth back on and all that stuff. I just don't want it to just let it give, just please just let this give reviews and let this be a beacon of hope in the abyss that is the internet, and make a black guy feel good, you know, when he's not thinking about being shot when he goes outside. Make him feel happy that his little podcast that his little podcast is pretty good, you know. How about you do that? And thank you to the Patreon subscribers that keep this thing going, that keeps me spewing my thoughts into this microphone. Special thanks to Fred, a new subscriber. I appreciate you. Speaking of Patreon, there's new content coming. By the time you hear this, there will be a conversation that I had a week ago with the very lovely and talented Adrienne Appalucci of Vag Podcast. You may have seen her on Letterman, and you can see her more recently on Netflix on The Degenerates, which she was very funny in. Very terrific stand-up. Holding her album hostage. I did not talk to her about that. That's one thing that I didn't talk to her about that I should have talked to her about. But we had a good conversation nonetheless. And why don't we just get into this? This is episode 448. I'm sitting in my apartment. I have ESPN on mute. They're playing fucking football, professional rules football, on Thursday. And I did not know that. I didn't realize it was this close. I know the preseason, they didn't do a preseason games, rather. They didn't do that. College football's on. The homie Michael Felder is tweeting about college football. I glanced over to the telly on Saturday and saw that they were playing football.
Ooh.
Before I turned this on, there were close to 300 people in a bar in Brooklyn that got shut down. And people are out. It's Labor Day weekend. People are partying. This is one of the times, even if there wasn't a pandemic, I'd probably be inside like I am now, because this is a time where white people are out and they go crazy and they're drinking. I might venture outside to get something to eat, but I don't know. It's back, bro. America's back, bro, whether we want it or not. You know, we got the COVID's not gone, but we're not tired. We're tired of it. And we're going to go out. We're going to party. And fuck it, bro. We're out here. I got a buddy talking about, hey, you guys going to see Tenet? I'm like, no, dude, I'm not going to see Tenet. I'm going to see it in about 3 or 4 months when it's out on Blu-ray. I don't even know how I'm going to break it to my parents if I'm not going to even come home for the holidays. I don't even fuck. Are you guys having that conversation with your parents yet? Some of you that are trying to be safe, are you talking to your parents about that? When my mom, if my mom even thinks that I'm not coming home, I don't even know. I don't even know, dude. Wow. Have you guys had that conversation yet? Some people are hanging out. They're like, hanging out with my mom, hanging out with them. I don't know, man. Do you want to have that on you? Not only do I want to like die over what people are saying is Christopher Nolan's worst movie. They said it's like his worst review since The Prestige. I was like, The Prestige was fucking good. What are you talking about? I was just having a conversation with a buddy about that. And it's just like, The Prestige was fucking dope. Are you kidding me? I have it on DVD. What are we talking about? One of the best films of 2005, bro. 2004, 2005. You know what I'm talking about. Ugh. I don't know, man. People are out. The economy, trying to get that economy back, young. I don't know. I have not done any fun shit. At least some of the people that I follow, like, they're hanging out, but they have their masks on. They're, you know, they're tagging the designer of the mask that they have. You know, it's, you know, hey. But some of these Instagram models, I just worry about them. You know, I worry that they're not being safe, and I don't want them to get sick. Because if they get sick and something happens to them, what am I going to look at when I'm scrolling through, when I'm lonely and thinking about, like, how life has passed me by? What am I going to look at? Sneakers? You can't go anywhere. I don't know, man. I am tempted to see Tenet, but I'm not. And it's kind of perfect. This would have been the perfect weekend. This would have been the like, I would go see that movie. It's open in Wayne, New Jersey. But the thing about, so it was open in Connecticut. Stuff opened in Connecticut last week. And it would have been like a straight little 15 minutes from the day job. Or I could see it in Wayne, like Friday, last Friday, the 4th, the theaters opened. One of my favorite newish theater. They remodeled at this place in Wayne. And they have like that AMC Prime where the seats like vibrate a little bit. I don't really care too much about that, but the screen's great. It's clean. You're away from people. The seats recline, all that cool stuff. It would have been perfect. And, but just when I'm reading about you could get sick from, you know, being in that environment, and then you didn't really understand the movie, you know. You have to go look at YouTube videos of what you might have missed or what some other dude thinks that happened in the movie. And you're not really that sure, and you're sick. I watched this one girl. I don't know if I said this, but maybe I tweeted it, that this one girl that I was concerned about because I like her reviews. And she was coughing through her Tenet review. And I was like, oh, shit. But then come to find out, I think she just had a cold, because I watched her. She did like a live on YouTube, and she just like said, yeah, I just went to the doctor. It wasn't COVID. So I'm glad she's not sick. But shit, man. So I think maybe 3 or 4 months I'll see that. But I did see that when it comes out on DVD, I will happily buy the DVD. I did, however, see the trailer for No Time to Die, that new James Bond movie. And I was just like, man, wow. Ooh, that looks really good. Like, that action, all that stuff looks great. So I'm excited to see that. That's November, but I just don't see myself, the homie Darren Patterson from the SNL Nerds podcast. He asked a bunch of guys if we were thinking about going back, where we're going back to the theater. I just said, you know, probably not until this year's over, maybe next year, maybe next spring or so, you know. I just don't see myself going back for a while. And that's one of my favorite things to do. I just kind of feel like, as an American, ideally, like, I'm trying to sacrifice all the fun shit that I like to do, and you know, and just trying to like really sacrifice something in order to just be a very small part of what gets us back on top of this virus, you know. And you know, you just, yeah, that's what I want to do. Like, I haven't done shows. It's easy when you're not like an in-demand comedian or actor. Like, you can bitch about the people that are doing shit because the opportunity's not presented to you. And I feel like some of these people, they do have to make that money. They do have to go and do these shows if things are open. So I would never like shit on anybody that's doing it, but God, I hope people aren't doing. I looked at one picture of a place that I've been to before and they don't pay. It's just like you go to these shows because your friend books you on the show, but the venue doesn't pay you anything, or they don't pay the hosts enough to pay anybody. And I'm looking at them doing a show and I'm like, I wonder if ain't, I bet ain't none of them people get paid. Ain't nobody get paid but the owner. You know, just looking at shows like that is kind of like, why are you doing this? I don't know. I feel really conflicted by this stuff. And I don't think I have all the right answers, but I think I'm trying to be as safe as possible. And if I get it, I just don't want to get the shit from being frivolous. Well, I want to fucking go out. Like, I drove past my barbershop. And I saw the owner. He didn't see me, but I saw him sitting out there. And, you know, and I don't know. People are getting shit done. People are, you know, doing stuff. I see the Instagram shit and I'm just like, man, I don't know, young. I don't know. So what happened to me this week? What did I do? I went, did some TPS reports. I did that. I got some brakes on my car, which was good. I only needed front brakes. When I went to the dealership, they told me that I needed on both axles. And I was like, they told me I needed front and rear. And when you go to the dealership, they give you this big ass printout of which, not a big ass printout, but they text you. It's so automated now that they say everything that your car needs and you can point, you can click on what you want to get done and they'll do it. But they told me, and they charged, like, from what I got, they charged like almost $200 more than what I needed. Without tax, it was close to $200 more. And I was like, you mother, but the dealership's always going to try to bend you over without Vaseline. They don't give a fuck. And I just went to Goodyear cause they had done some work before. So I got it done. But the good thing about going to a dealership, one, it was closer to my place. Two, they Uber you, they lift you, you know, take you to, and they take you home and you don't have to pay for that. So I had to pay this time. And it is kind of a weird thing when you drive all the time and you have to take an Uber. It is, the world is a little bit different. And I did feel happier when I picked my car up. Like, oh, I got my car. Like, I can't like go anywhere. I just talked about not going anywhere. But you, if you have to go somewhere and you have to go to work and you have to do all this stuff, you know, you kind of feel naked without your car. You feel like you're lost. It's a really bad feeling when you know, when you have to get stuff done. So that's adulthood, I guess. That's part of adulthood. So I got that done. I had one good conversation in the Uber going after I dropped my car off and getting a ride home. I had one good conversation with the lady. The second, the next day driving back, I was almost like pulling teeth, but I got him to talk a little bit. I just don't want to be that asshole. If they don't want to talk, they don't want to talk. But I just didn't want to be an asshole sitting in the back. There's not interacting with another person, you know. You know, I try to do that. And I know you hear some comedians like, you know, I just want to get to the gig. Just fucking drivers fucking talking to me. I get it if you're tired or whatever, but you know, for the most part, I like to interact with another human being. You know, if I'm in that close proximity with the person, you try to, you know. So I was like one for two in conversations in the Lyft. Madden came out almost a week or two ago. It is getting trashed and they got like this hashtag where they're like cancel Madden or whatever the fuck, or at least like give the licensing, like EA Sports should not have a monopoly on NFL football. People point to the 2K, whatever version that was, that it was better than Madden. I don't know about that. Maybe it was. I'm not 100% sure, but I bet now, if you give 2K Sports the opportunity to run to do an NFL game, I think it would be pretty sick. I mean, what they do with 2K is like phenomenal. If they just had that same, you know, the same DNA of what they do with 2K and they put that in an NFL game, I think it would be awesome. And it's real, like people are really upset. And it just kind of turned me off. I was like, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to get this. And if I do, I'm sure they'll put some patches and stuff to fix the game. But it seemed like they just got really lazy this year. And last year, I enjoyed it, actually. I actually really enjoyed it. I played a full season. It was actually really fun to play. And I kind of tried to do like a roster update to play with Cam in the Patriots and just... and get Brady, like those are the big trades, the big like off season acquisitions that got me revved up. But it wouldn't do it. So when I tried to update, so I was just like, and then just people are complaining about this game and it just seems like trash. So I doubt that I'll spend any money on that, any real money, not like 60. If I can get it for 30, or maybe just wait till the Super Bowl and pay $20 for it, maybe I'll do that. We'll see. Maybe they're saving stuff for next gen. I don't know, you know. So 2K, people are complaining about that shot meter. Damian Lillard even said, "Do y'all know how to shoot on this?" Like the cover boy, the cover athlete is like, "Yo, how do you shoot on this?" It looks good. Like I watched this one dude play for a little bit on YouTube and he seemed to be into it. He's kind of like me where it's like, I'm not super high maintenance with some of this stuff, but if you show me all those bugs and stuff that I'm seeing in Madden, I'm like, oh hell no. But if I'm looking at like 2K and it looks a little better, but then it's also like, man, like I would just rather wait maybe until next gen to get to the PS5 to get any of these sports games. And I'm excited about the PS5, but if I had the bread, I think I would get it off the rip. I think I would. I don't know. I'm going to get it eventually, though. But right away, I might have some FOMO, but I'm a grown up. I'm fucking 40. I could be like, oh, you guys got it? That's cool. I'm glad you guys are having fun with it. I'm going to finish God of War, like I've been saying for the past 3 years. I'm going to finish Control, which they've added. They've added some more DLC. That's like two DLCs that they've added. And Ghost of Tsushima. That's another one that I need to finish. Got to stop playing Tealu. Got to stop playing that Tealu too, man. Yeah, so that's been that. That's video game talk. Interested, they made you register. So apparently, there's supposed to be like a big... There's Outbreak Day, which is... speaking of The Last of Us, Outbreak Day is the 26th of September. There's supposed to be some event, maybe. And they might be announcing like Last of Us 2 factions. I don't really care about that. That's the multiplayer. Maybe there's some cool Latilu merchandise, maybe. And maybe there's an announcement that they make for PlayStation 5. I don't know actually how much this fucking thing is going to cost. I think it's going to be like $500 or $600. So we'll see. What else? A lot of crazy last week, 2 weeks ago, last week. 2 weeks ago, NBA like going on strike and stuff. Verzi and I didn't get to it, but I alluded to it. I liked it. And we talked on at length about it on Three Guys On. So if you haven't seen that, listen to it. Definitely check that out. We had a great conversation, a long one. It was like 3 hours and change, I think. Us talking about a lot of different things. It made me feel good that they actually did that, that they used their power as a predominantly black league to say, we ain't playing. We don't feel good about shit that's going on, and we just don't feel like playing. And the Milwaukee Bucks, they were the right team to do that because within the last 3 to 5 years, they've had issues with the cops in fucking Milwaukee. Like John Henson getting accused of trying to steal, getting racially profiled in a jewelry store. This kid, Sterling Brown, getting arrested over some bullshit at a fucking like Walgreens or something like that. It's just like a lot of bullshit that these guys go through. So they were right in doing that. And I guess it just didn't happen the way some people wanted it to happen. The players got mad. They said LeBron walked out. He got upset and blah, blah, blah. And people kind of came down on him. And I don't know if I'm a LeBron apologist, but I am definitely protective of him. I know he's trying to do the right thing. He's done all this great stuff. And people say, oh, he's not Muhammad Ali. Like he's not Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali had different circumstances as he was dealing with when he was coming up, and LeBron had his, you know. And I think whatever LeBron does, for some people, it's never going to be enough. And you can critique him and things like that. Well, he's not this, he's not that. But he seems like a decent guy, you know? Like, from when I don't know the dude, but he seems like he's trying. He's a celebrity. He's doing all these great, great things on the court and in entertainment. And he's making a lot of money. And he's trying to give some. And he seems like he's giving it back and putting it back into the community that sometimes you don't see athletes of his caliber do. Like I didn't grow up with seeing a lot of my favorite athletes doing that. I see some of them doing it now. I see like Bo Jackson doing it. You know, he's giving back to the community. But LeBron, like a mega star, he's doing it, man. And it's never going to be enough. He can't win enough championships. He can't donate enough of his money. It's just like everything he does, he gets critiqued. They're trying to push him out of the league with MVPs that he probably should have won. They gave it to other people. You know, they're trying to push him out. Like Giannis is probably going to win again. He can't even get out the first round of the fucking playoffs. They might lose. They almost got swept, you know. And Giannis is talented, and I think he might grow into that. But for now, he's not doing it, you know. They're constantly trying to get LeBron out of the paint, you know? And then people have problems with him. People have problems with him in that because he was working out and he was reading the autobiography of Malcolm X, and people were making fun of him and shit like that. People get their jokes off and the shit is funny, but like, I was thinking to myself, man, somebody said, oh, well, you're going to read that book when you're like in high school or you're like a teenager. And I think about like people that say stuff like that, that they come from a place of privilege. And it doesn't necessarily have to be white privilege, or it's not necessarily white. There's black people that fucking have privilege too. I was one of them. I read that shit when I was a young kid, like maybe 11 or 12, because I was reading it. And that was around the time that the movie was about to come out, 90, 91-ish. When did Malcolm X come out? Malcolm X came out. Malcolm X movie. When did that shit come out? 92. So I remember reading it around that time, and Denzel was going to be Malcolm X. And that's when I loved Denzel, like most young actors that came up around the time that I came up. Young kids, like, you want to be like Denzel when you grow up. And he was the Jordan. He was the fucking Superman. But like I said, you know, even, you know, before, like, because to before I discovered Denzel, like, River Phoenix was that dude for me, and because he was young. Denzel was much older than me, but River Phoenix was only a few years older than me. I was like, wow, this kid actor doing this shit, blah, 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 blah. And when you're a kid, you're impressionable. And I think, you know, somebody's going to look at that picture of LeBron with that book. There's going to be a young kid around 10 or 11 or 12 that's going to see LeBron James holding that book and say, well, who's that? Who's Malcolm X? I want to read about him because LeBron's reading about him. And that's going to be helpful. You don't always have to shit on like people just because they got to something later than you did. You know, I even talked about that with the homie Morgan Campbell when he was on. We talked about like being in some place of privilege when we were in college, when we were talking about Last Chance U. Sometimes you have to step back and think about that stuff. And I'm and yeah, you could call me a LeBron apologist or whatever. I don't care. But I just it just makes me want him to succeed even more because of the things that I see him doing, you know. And it's not always going to look like the way we want it to look, you know. And that's sometimes that's it's just not always going to be what we want it to be. But I think his heart is in the right place. He's doing good shit. And I think it was apropos for the Bucks to be at the forefront of this, you know, and that too may not have looked like the way that we wanted it to or the way that these players collectively wanted it to be, but they came to some terms of agreement and they all decided to do this remarkable thing that I have not witnessed in my lifetime. That was pretty fucking cool. And it just all the more reason to just me to watch these games and just enjoy these guys and to see them, you know, put their talents on display, you know? I don't know. I think LeBron's a child star that made good. He always reminds me of like a black Ron Howard in a lot of ways. You know, Kobe was that too. But I think LeBron had more scrutiny. I think you could say they were both, you know, Kobe had the, but you know, LeBron, is that, you know? Oh, there's a, what's my girl? Akilah and the Bee got an Oil of Olay commercial and it just kind of, I called her Akilah and the Bee. Oh my God, what is this girl? What is this girl's name? You see people all the time and you just have these brain farts. I'm not using my brain enough. Keke Palmer. How old is she? No, she's 27. I was looking at, so she's got this Oil of Olay. That's what made me have like just kind of stop in my tracks. She had this Oil of Olay commercial where she's in the shower, like washing herself, and it looks great. And that's what put me on pause and had to kind of stop what I was doing. Okay. So yeah, man, I they kind of did that with Jordan in a lot of ways. Like you try to get these guys out of the paint to put everybody else, but I think LeBron still got work to do, man. And they, you know, he still got time. And if he wins, some people, which I like, that are saying that if he wins a championship, it's going to be worth three because of the pandemic, because of COVID and the bubble shit. And then some are probably going to be detractors and say, well, fuck him. It's not the same because there's going to be an asterisk by it. I don't know, but I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for that dude as long as he plays, and I hope he continues to play as long as he can. You know, the playoffs are pretty fun. I'm liking Jimmy Butler, like what the Heat are doing. Those guys can shoot threes, man. My God. Just with no hesitation, just shooting. Jimmy was kind of crazy down the stretch, though, like the last few possessions, like kind of throwing shit away when they got into overtime and then just being a little wild with it. But, I like his, I like his tenacity. I like his energy. His weird, his mustache with no fucking shape up. Just somebody said he looked like a mechanic. And I tweeted a couple of days ago that he had this like evil stepfather energy that like he would drive the McDonald's. You be in the back seat. I didn't tweet it all like this, but just like the vibe where he would go to McDonald's. You be in the back seat. He'd drive, get all this food, and he wouldn't get you anything, and he would eat that shit in your face. He's like that equivalent of Snoop Dogg in Baby Boy. He's just Snoop was a fucking asshole. Yeah. So yeah, it's been fun to see these storylines pop up. Giannis is, I guess he's hurt. They say he's gonna win the MVP. I barely watched this season anyway. I was real busy earlier on in the before that Rona hit. But we'll see, man. We'll see what happens. Anything can happen in the bubble. I watched Versus. I was a little late, but I watched it. Listened to it while I was doing my TPS reports. I love Brandy and Monica. Everybody, I've told this story on the show a bunch of times, or maybe just on Twitter, but I've said it and I'll fucking say it again. Monica, like probably one of the most beautiful celebrities I've met in person in my life. Like I remember I was like maybe 15 years old getting, and I got her autograph at Kent Mill Records, and she was just like looking at me. She like, you know, just to say like, what's your name? And I was like, Oh, Chris, you know, I was just, she's gorgeous, man. And a great singer. And her and Brandy, I love them both. I remember going to the Monica thing because one of my buddies at the time, freshman year, he did not tell me about Brandy being at Kent Mill Records, and he was bragging that he got her autograph. And I was like, nigga, you ain't tell why you know. So it was really good. I think that they broke records with that one. And it seems like the ones that they do with the women, like it's Jill Scott and Erykah Badu, that was the only one that I really cared about. And this Brandy Monica, the other ones I didn't really give a shit about. And I still found myself, as I was watching and checking it out, like it came a time where I kind of just like tapped out of like a lot of that music anyway. When they were playing some of the songs, I was like, oh, well, that's new to me. I just kind of didn't listen anymore. And that's the same thing with like quite a few of the artists that I grew up with. And then just to go back and listen to these songs, it's like, they're still putting out new stuff, and the new stuff that they're putting out is still good. You know, it's still like really top quality. Like, so those were like two big artists. Like when I was growing up, they were like huge. And then Usher, I just watched Usher's Good Morning America performance. And that motherfucker, like he, to me, I think he's one of the best I've seen. Like I've talked ad nauseum about how great I think Usher is. It's just like he still got it, and he's doing this residency next year, God willing. I hope, you know, everything's back to fucking normal in July 2021 at Caesars. And I think it's only like 12 shows. I was getting kind of, it's like you kind of think like, oh, when they start doing residencies, is it like over or are they a novelty act? And then you just, because this guy may or may not be a novelty act, or he's in that part of his career, then that means I'm getting old and then I'm going to die. Hopefully not anytime soon, but that just means like, it just makes you think about your own mortality. But then at the same time, it still makes you feel good. Like, oh, this guy's still around. He's still doing it. And he's only 40. So you got to think like all these other guys, if they stay healthy and they, you know, they're going to be around. So you hopefully that, you know, I don't know why I'm just feeling weird. I was bummed out. Speaking of death, I was bummed out about Chadwick Boseman. Sad, you know, when I first found out, and then like I was looking at his Black Panther, his T'Challa Black Jeopardy sketch on SNL, and it was just like, oh my God, man. It just made me feel really bad. But again, I don't know if I might be echoing what I said last week in the intro. You know, it just kind of made me feel like, yeah, maybe he was like our generation, Sidney Poitier. And he just had this regal quality about him that was just like, it just meant his presence just seemed to be more than the work. I don't know. It just kind of shone through the work, and it just, I think what he had to offer, or you know, was just a little more than just any of the roles that he did. I mean, I remember JL making fun of his voice as Jackie, because Jackie Robinson sounded like this, you know, kind of sounded like Tony Gwynn a little bit, you know, just kind of talking like this, and I'm Jackie Robinson. But then JL would say, like, I'm Jackie Robinson. It kind of had like a Dark Knight type voice. But otherwise, that movie was actually good. I don't know. I know people shitted on it. And I know that that HBO miniseries, that HBO movie. Oh, my God. That HBO Negro Leagues movie. Oh, my God. HBO. I'm going to Google this shit. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. People are yelling at me while I'm doing it. I bet. HBO Negro League movie, Soul of the Game, 1996, with Delroy Lindo, Michael T. Wash Williamson, and Blair Underwood. Great movie. But I liked it. I remember one of the first episodes, early episodes, I was like talking about the moments that the black message moments and shit. And every time you'd have to go back and try to find it. But I did enjoy that movie. And I do remember saying that it's one of those movies where if you're a kid, you show this movie to a kid and they'll understand it. And the racism was very powerful in it. The racism in the movie was amazing, you know? So I don't know. I think his death just sort of sunk in a lot more. And I'm kind of scared to look at his, like that speech that he did. I think he did a speech at Howard or Morehouse, one of those commencement speeches that he did. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. But I did, when I was doing Three Guys On, I put Black Panther on mute and just kind of, you know, had it on. Yeah, that shit fucking sucks. But he went out the way that he wanted to go out, and he did a lot while he was here. And it's admirable what he did while he was sick. So I was talking about verses. So Usher's great. And he was doing like an acapella little medley. And just like, I remember seeing him, I think it was a graduation present. I was supposed to go with this girl and she canceled. So I went with a buddy from college, and it was Usher, Nas, and Faith. And Usher headlined, and he fucking murdered back then it was a Nissan Pavilion at Stone Ridge. Somewhere it's in Virginia, probably not far from King's Dominion. And I saw him there, and I like a couple of his DVDs I got. And it's just amazing. It's stuff, you know, I've gushed about how great I think Usher is. Great songs. Who would he do a verses with if he did one? R. Kelly, you can't do it with R. Kelly. I don't know, man. People say Chris Brown, but I don't think Chris Brown's as good as Usher. Maybe that's me being an ageist, but vocally, I don't know, man. I don't know. He's one that we collectively, the community, let him get away with stuff. So I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, that Brandy and Monica, like they were great. And people, and after I watched it, I watched this stuff about their feud, and it was, they really did have a feud. And some of that shit that Monica, like they, the vibes that people were throwing out. Cause I didn't watch the day of, like I kind of went in and out on the day of the verses, but people were saying shit and taking screen caps and commenting on them. They did have a pass where, but that's the industry did that, man. They tried to pit Brandy and Aaliyah against each other, and that didn't work. And so then they did it with Brandy and Monica. So it's like, it's enough. It was enough out for all three of them to eat. Like they were all different, you know, and they were all very good. People loved all. I don't know why you have to pick a side when it comes to them. They especially do that with women and our black women. So, yeah, I just remember shit throwing Aaliyah in there. I loved them all. I loved all three of them. But it just kind of came a time in my early 20s. Maybe it's because I wasn't around enough black people when I was in Chicago. I did some black shows and shit. No, I got put on to Eric Roberson in Chicago. But that was one of my homies that put me. I already knew about it. It was some black shit that I got put onto, but I don't know. Was I around? I just wasn't around people listening to that R&B stuff anymore. Or maybe I just got, even the white people I was around, they weren't really talking about music. I was around act theater nerds. I don't know. But at the same time, I was going to concerts. That's the most time, like in those 5 years that I was in Chicago, I went to a bunch of shows. I was listening to Van Hunt. I was like Music Soul Child, Floor Tree. I still had my shit, but maybe it was just that like R&B. Nah, I had Usher shit. I don't know. I just think at some point I just missed. There's just like some gap where you hear some of those songs come up. I don't know. It's just like it's just so much music, man. So I don't know. I don't know what it was, but there are a lot of gaps. Cause you listen to something, it's like, oh, what about this song? You're like, oh, this sounds really good, but I don't remember that shit. And I guess it's hard to keep up, because I look at like Tidal, and Tidal doesn't have everything. That's the one thing these streaming services, they don't, because of some legalities, they're not going to have everything. So you kind of just look at it like, what is this? What's going on here? Oh, she had this, she had that, you know. She had this song. She had another album that came out that you didn't know about. And I think they're both independent now. I think Brandy's latest album, which is good, that I need to go back to, is independent. Or she did it, you know, on her own, basically. Yeah. So it was very nostalgic. And I did like it. And it seemed like the ones with the women are the most watched. I'll just do music and then go to TV and movies. Music, I found out about this guy called Duckworth, DUCKWRTH, and he's got an album out called Super Good, and I liked it. Excuse me. I was cleaning up and I was just like, oh, let me, and I think he came on after I was listening to a song. I was like, oh, I listened to his whole album. So I was cleaning my apartment yesterday. And I said, I listened to a couple songs maybe a week or two ago. And I was like, I got to finish it. And I was like, oh, he kind of sings and he's raps. He's from LA. I like him. I like him. He's got some good shit. And that's one good thing. One thing that I like about Tidal. Because, or any of these services, I guess. I mean, I actually pay for Tidal, so that's the only one that I really know. And I listen to podcasts on Spotify, but I was listening to Tidal. I had this playlist about an hour and a half long, and I put my wireless headphones in and just like played the music through my phone and was vibing out. And I had this playlist that was just like an hour and 36 minutes. And anytime a new song pops up that I'm like, oh, this sounds good, I'll just add it to that list. And so I'm cleaning up and I said, this is a song I've never heard before. And just something cool comes up. So that's neat. I like it. See, LeBron just caught an alley-oop on highlight. He still got it, man. Still knocking people over when he drives to the basket. Yeah, so I dig that. I dig Duckworth. There's a bunch of other artists that I've been listening to, but it's kind of just been loose records. It hasn't been like a whole project, so I won't comment on that until later. Other than that, Maya Hawke, Ethan Hawke, and Uma Thurman's kid from Stranger Things and some other movies. She's how old is she? She's like 22. She's got a movie. She's got an album out called Blush. Blush. I was like, man, everybody's got. She's got an album. Okay. And I listened to it. Pleasant. Very like very acoustic. What do they call it? Trying to think, see what they describe it as. And it's been like a week since I listened to it. It's kind of got like a indie vibe to it. She can sing. They call it folk rock. And I get it. It's fine. It's all right, I would say. That's what I listen to. Check that out. Check out Duckworth, super good, and check out Maya Hawke, Blush. She just sounds like a normal singer-songwriter chick that, you know, maybe a couple of those records would be on a CW show at the end of during a montage towards the end of an episode. You know, so it's solid. She can sing. She can hold a note. What else? Let's do TV. I've been into this Lovecraft Country. They're four episodes in, and I think maybe the fourth episode is probably one of my favorites. So far, because it reminded me, like a lot of people say, Goonies and Indiana Jones. I would say Uncharted. It reminded me of Black Uncharted. It was funny. The adventures that they go on is obviously it's horror. You know, you're dealing with the racism. The monsters are actually worse than aren't as bad as the white people. You know, that's the overall theme of the show. And I got the book. I ordered the book that I need to read. I need to get into this, maybe getting into one book a month to read. So I think I got my eyes set on some Howard Bryant. I need to get into this Fool Dissonant. So that I think I'm going to start that. That's what I wanted to say. I think I might have said it on a Patreon, but I wanted to say it on the main feed too, so I can be held to that. So I can like at least once a month, I take a screenshot of a book, a picture of a book that I finished, and shout out the author on Twitter and move on to the next one. I need to be doing that because I got a backlog of books and video games that I need to finish, and the books make you cooler because the girls don't care about video games. At least I haven't met the right one that cares, that gives a shit. That's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. I'm thinking about, okay, so Cobra Kai. Wow. So it dropped on Netflix a week ago and 2 weeks ago or something, where whatever dimension you're in. I don't know, but about 2 weeks ago in the weekend it dropped. I remember seeing the first two to three episodes on YouTube and being like, oh, this is good. But they wanted you to sign up for YouTube Red. And I was like, I'm not doing that shit. So I guess I'll never see Cobra Kai. And it moved to Netflix. And so I started over and watched it. I was like, yo, I'm into this shit for real. And I think I didn't do shit else but watch Cobra Kai until I finished it. And lo and behold, like the homies on the Firestarter crew raved about it. Other people are tweeting about it. It's like, okay, so I'm not a psycho that just like stopped everything that he was doing just to watch this show. I'm not alone in this, but it's really good. It's really, it's definitely nostalgic. It definitely makes you root. This is kind of like almost on some Last of Us shit where you're rooting for, you end up, maybe you root for Abby more than you do Ellie. I don't know. Some people, maybe you still root for Daniel, but it's basically 30 years later. Johnny, who got his ass beat by Daniel, is kind of down and out, still kind of living back in the 80s. And then he gets a bug up his ass and opens up Cobra Kai, has one student that's kind of been downtrodden. And I like it. It goes from there. And he has his relationship comes back to putting him in proximity of Daniel LaRusso, who's become like a big time car dealer in Cali. And it's very interesting parallels that it makes. It's very simplistic when it comes to that, those things, but it's about fathers and sons and daughters and all this shit. It's really good. I like the tapestry that they created around that world, and it's really good. And it's also fascinating to some degree the fact that these kids are doing karate, they're fighting instead of like fucking shooting each other. So that's kind of good, even though it's violence, but it's still, it's interesting to watch in a world that we live in today. And for that to be considered to be modern, it's very interesting. It's cool that they're fighting and not fucking blowing each other's heads off. But there's a climactic sequence in season two that's like, ooh, it didn't need to get that serious. But it does. And there's a couple moments that are like, oh, fuck. So the characters that you kind of like, they end up doing shitty things. And characters that you don't like end up surprising you. So it's a very... it's complex in its simplicity, if you will. And I really fucking love it. And there's a couple people that are like, I don't get it. I know people are talking about, but I don't think they're old enough. I think there's some people that are like in their early 30s that just don't understand. And it's not like, fuck you if you don't understand. But it's just like, if you get it, you really fucking get it. If you were into it when you were a kid, I rewatched the first Karate Kid maybe in my mid 20s. And that shit made me cry at the end. Some people's like, oh, Daniel's a fucking bitch. He was kind of bratty. He was kind of a brat, but he was still the underdog in that situation. But yeah, really fucking good, man. Really loved it. Can't wait for season three to come. What else? The Vow I've been watching. Man. The Vow is, I'm going to try to find the blurb. The Vow. See if they got a good Google blurb. The Vow is an American true crime documentary series revolving around the cult Nexium and its leader, Keith Raniere, which premiered on August 23rd, 2020. I think there's like 9 episodes of it, 9 or 10 episodes. And it follows people that broke away from this cult. And it's wild, man. The shit, it gets into like sex trafficking. And one of the actresses from Smallville, Allison Mack, like branding women and subjugating women. It's crazy. And it's only 3 episodes in. It's pretty wild. So I've been watching that. And I'm trying to figure out, if I should get into, what should I get into first, Succession or Chernobyl? The Chernobyl, I hope I didn't mention this before, because I started recording an episode, then I kind of went off the rails. So forgive me if I've done that here, but I want to get into another series. Chernobyl's a mini series, and I put up a poll on Twitter and Facebook. And people are telling me, you know, when you, some people, oh, Succession, this, and Chernobyl's not that long. Chernobyl, the creator of Chernobyl, is also going to be involved with the Last of Us television series, which, you know, would be amazing if I ever, if I get an, I would love to get an audition for that. And if I got a one, be like, it would be dope to get a fucking audition for that. Two, it would be dope to actually be in it and have a couple lines and just get beat up by Joel or Ellie. It would fucking be amazing. Or somebody that helped, you know, I don't know, somebody nice. It would be fucking amazing to be a part of that. You know, and when you put up stuff, people try to tell you what else to watch. It's like, I get it. You're trying to be different, but fuck you a little bit. I'm asking about these two shows. And I was just like, you know, they're like, oh, Righteous Gemstones. And these are some of my friends. I was like, fuck you a little bit, dude. Oh, watch Righteous Gemstones. I've seen it already. Watch something else. I've seen it. I've seen it. Okay. You're a cool person, but you don't have to be a naysayer. Like, I was listening to Busta Rhymes yesterday while I was cleaning up. I kind of went on a little rabbit hole of Busta Rhymes. And I think, like, how great was he as an MC? Like, he was just, like, he was great, and he had all this energy. And I think maybe I have, like, a soft spot for him because that was the first rap concert that I ever went to, I would say. Ooh, am I lying about that? I don't know. But I went to two concerts in college. At Gettysburg College. One of them was to see The Roots and the other was to see Busta Rhymes. And I can't remember what came first. But Busta Rhymes was incredible. Like, he was like, "What's up, you Pennsylvania Gettysburg fucks?" And he ripped it. He fucking killed. It was incredible. It might have been soft because he was doing extinction level event stuff. So that might have been like 99. I don't know. But he ripped it. And I was thinking about his albums. Like, they're obviously, you know, I said on Twitter. What did I say? I said, what were his best? Okay, what was his, where did I put it? What's Busta Rhymes' best album? And I said, When Disaster Strikes or Extinction Level Event. People were throwing out other albums of his, but I don't think so. I think, like, song for song, as a collect, like, those two albums were fucking good. Like, his best. Not to say the others were trash, but just, like, cohesive wise, just remembering tracks that I liked and not just the singles. Some people said Anarchy, and I did like Anarchy, but ELE and When Disaster Strikes are like his best to me. And other people were throwing the other albums and shit out. But yeah, Busta Rhymes, so good. One of the best, probably one of the best. Like The Roots, I'm trying to think who I've liked. The Roots, amazing. Busta Rhymes, amazing. Mos Def was so great that I like kind of barely remember it. It was like in 2003 or 2004, whenever the Cubs, before the Bartman thing happened. It was that year, 03 04, and the Cubs had clinched, and then I was standing outside to go to this venue that right next door to Wrigley Field. And they were like, the Cubs won. I was like, Mos Def. I'm going to see Mos Def at the, it wasn't at the Abbey. It was at Metro. And it was amazing. It was just like this ethereal. Is it ethereal or ephemeral? One of those ethereal or one of those words. It was just like amazing because a year or two before I wanted to see him in Top Dog Underdog, see him with the great Jeffrey Wright. And his understudy went on, and I was bummed out about that. They were great. And you would be, I've said this before on the show, but you would probably be surprised. Talib Kweli puts on a great rap show. I know you guys have canceled him, and he argues with people a lot on social media, but the motherfucker can rap. I got into it with Bomani Jones once on Twitter. I was like, not trying to sound like an elitist just because I like that's backpack rap. But the mother, I seen him in concert. That motherfucker can rap and he can put on a show and you can actually hear everything he's saying and the diction and clarity with how he spits on the microphone. Really fucking good. And he had to, Bo had to say, all right, okay. But yeah. Okay. I found this thing. So what's Busta Rhymes' best album between When Disaster Strikes or Extinction Level Event? 64% say When Disaster Strikes, 36% say Extinction Level Event. And that's from 14 votes. I did have a succession, in Chernobyl thing. Let's see, I had 41 votes for this one. 56% said Chernobyl, 44% said Succession. So I think I may have to go with Chernobyl because maybe it's shorter. So maybe I'll do that. Breaking news, guys, as I'm recording, Tyler Perry shot 19 episodes of new series Bruh in just 4 days. Okay. What else did I want to talk about? Movie. Let's do movies and I'll get you the hell out of here. I've already been blabbing for over an hour. Movies. I'm supposed to do a special Patreon episode with someone, and I've done my homework. We'll see if he's done his homework. And we're going to get into some movies. So I'm just going to give you some stuff that I'm not going to talk about those. I saw the movie Love Guaranteed with the great Rachel Lee Cook, who made, I don't know if you call it a comeback because she's been here for years, but, sorry guys. but it was, I was like, oh, Rachel Lee Cook's in a movie and Damon Wayans Jr.'s in a movie with, oh my God. Interracial rom-com? Yeah, I'm there. 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's see. We'll see what we got here. After 1,000 first dates, he's still single. So's the lawyer he hires to sue his dating app. All evidence points to romance. I liked it, man. It was a cute rom-com. Nobody died. Black guy and a white girl got together. Wasn't no racism. It was in Seattle. It was just about them trying to get over themselves. So, I don't know how I feel. I mean, the wokes, if I was super woke, I would say that there's a black woman in it that cheated on Damon Wayans Jr. And I don't know how I feel about that. I would blog about that if I was woke. But since I'm not, solid, fun, cute movie, I would recommend it. The next one I watched was Can You Keep a Secret with Alexandra Daddario. And you know me, I love me some Alexandra Daddario. I think that I would watch her in anything. I'd watch Alexandra Daddario in almost anything unless she was like the supportive girlfriend or wife of a Klansman or Confederate soldier. That shit would be heartbreaking, and I don't think I could look at her the same because Carrie Russell did it, and I was just, I'm just kind of like, I'm a little off you, Carrie, for a little bit. I'm a little like, you know, and Carrie said the N-word in a movie, and in that same movie, and I was like, I don't know, young. So this movie, here we go. A young woman spills all of her secrets to a stranger on a plane when she thinks it's about to crash. She later meets the man and discovers he is her company's new CEO and he knows all of her humiliating secrets. Alexandra Daddario and Tyler Hoechlin Road to Perdition, and then he was in the MTV version of Teen Wolf. Solid movie, solid rom-com. I did enjoy this. I like Alexandra Daddario. she's not just a hot actress. She actually has comedic timing. She's funny. I like the fact that she lived in New York and she had two roommates in her little like townhouse or whatever. I think she had two. She at least had one. And they were women, and both her friends were women of color. And if I was woke, I would write about how the women of color were used properly in the movie. were used properly. And Laverne Cox, who is a trans woman from Orange is the New Black, which I was in an episode of. She was in it, and she played Alexandra's boss. This movie is 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. I disagree. I'd say it was sweet, man. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was pleasant. So that's what I'm going with. I would recommend it if you're looking for something nice. If you want to double feature it, you know, you maybe want to watch, you know, a little Love Guaranteed and a little Can You Keep a Secret, you know, back to back, double feature it. You know, it was cute, man. It was fine. So I also I watched A Few Good Men a week or two ago and I really liked it. I don't think I had seen it. I think I just had known like, I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. And then you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. But I do not think that I watched that movie when I was a kid. I think I just one of those classics that I missed. And it was $5 on iTunes and I watched it and I was like, oh shit, I want it. I'm in. It was great. Classic. Everything that it said it was billed to be. Great movie. All right. That is it, everybody. I want to thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to this show, rate and review it. Patreon, $3 a month. You get at least two episodes bonus that aren't on the main feed. And I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you next time.